America, WAMKHD 90.9 Kingston, WOSRHD 91.7 Middletown, WCELHD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCANHD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANCHD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQHD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWESHD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZHD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
It's Thursday, the 16th of July. Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. In this hour, we start off with an open discussion of news of the day. It is our Roundtable panel. Joining us this morning, Stu Shinsky, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok. Later in the program, we'll talk with New York Times journalist Bill Pennington, author of Billy Martin, Baseball's Flawed Genius. We'll find out what's happening at the Linda. And also, we'll chat with New Yorker cartoonist Roz Chast about her exhibit now on display at the Norman Rockwell Museum. And author Fred Goodman will tell us about his biography, Alan Klein, the man who bailed out the Beatles, made the Stones, and transformed rock and roll. The Roundtable begins after news.
Hello, I'm Sue Montgomery with the BBC News. The Eurogroup has agreed in principle to provide Greece with a $7 billion short-term loan to keep its finances running until the approval of a full bailout. The funds are to come from an EU-wide rescue fund, the European Financial Stabilisation Mechanism. From Brussels, Chris Morris.
Using the EFSM is an emergency measure and not without controversy, but the European Commission says it's the only way to get €7 billion of funding to Greece straight away. The government in Athens needs the money to make debt repayments at the beginning of next week. Officials say Eurozone finance ministers have now signed up to the idea of using the EFSM, but as it involves all EU member states, all will need to be consulted. That's a decision that should be made tomorrow, and it needs a qualified majority to be approved.
In the last few minutes, the European Central Bank has decided to raise the level of emergency funding available to Greek banks. The Greek Interior Minister has said a snap election might be held in the autumn once the government has secured a third bailout package. Nikos Voutsis said the government was committed to stabilising the economy, but it must be in a position to implement the reforms agreed with its creditors. Japan's lower house of parliament has approved a controversial security bill that will allow Japanese troops to fight overseas for the first time since the Second World War. The move has been criticised by China, which called on the Japanese to avoid any actions which could damage Beijing's security and harm regional stability. Several ministers and senior intelligence officials from the exiled Yemeni government have returned to the key southern city of Aden. Our Arab Affairs editor Sebastian Usher reports.
The return of a handful of ministers is clearly meant to demonstrate a newfound confidence by the exiled government and its Saudi backers. But after months of stalemate, a real breakthrough has been made against the rebels. The group arrived by helicopter at a military airbase on the outskirts of Aden. They say they're there to prepare for the restoration of state institutions. That still seems a far distant prospect in a country that's only spiralled into more deadly instability and humanitarian crisis in the past few months.
Swiss officials say one of the seven people detained in connection with the FIFA corruption allegations has been handed over to the US authorities. The person was not named, but our Bern correspondent Imogen Folks says it's believed it's Jeffrey Webb.
We don't know for sure. There is widespread speculation, particularly in the US media, that it could be Jeffrey Webb. He's a citizen of the Cayman Islands, former FIFA vice president, and former head also, of course, of CONCACAF, the Football Federation for Caribbean, Central and North America, charged with or suspected of bribery and corruption.
World News from the BBC. President Putin has told the Dutch Prime Minister that setting up an international tribunal to prosecute those responsible for the shooting down of flight MH17 would be premature and counterproductive. The Kremlin said Mr. Putin called Mark Rutte on the eve of the first anniversary of the downing of the airliner over Ukraine. The Somali army says at least two Islamist militant leaders are believed to have been killed in a drone strike in the south of the country. People near the town of Bardera said they heard loud blasts at dawn on Thursday. Fighters from the Islamist group Al-Shabaab then rushed to the scene. Bardera is one of the few towns still controlled by Al-Shabaab. But African Union and Somali government troops are advancing on the area. The authorities in northern Cameroon have banned the wearing of the burqa and face-covering veil. This follows recent suicide bombings in the area by women in burqas, blamed on the jihadist group Boko Haram. The governor of Cameroon's far north region also said people were no longer allowed to drive vehicles with tinted windows or to ride motorbikes at night. The British government has launched a review of the future of the BBC. Speaking in Parliament, the Culture Secretary, John Whittingdale, said the public broadcaster was admired all over the world, but the government had to consider whether the BBC should have more focused aims.
We need to ask whether these purposes are still relevant and right. One key task is to assess whether the idea of universality still holds water. With so much more choice in what to consume and how to consume it, we must at least question whether the BBC should try to be all things to all people, to serve everyone across every platform, or if it should have a more precisely targeted mission.
In response, the BBC said the government was proposing a much diminished broadcaster, a move it said would be bad for Britain. And that's the latest BBC News.
Support for WMT comes from Zancal Music Center at Skidmore College, welcoming Dakota Chamber Music Ensemble from Carnegie Hall, July 21st at 7:30 p.m., skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Ruge's Subaru Rhinebeck, new Subarus featuring all-wheel drive and over 150 pre-owned vehicles, specializing in Subaru and GM vehicles, service and parts, rugesubaru.com. And Lorac, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972 with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, larac.org.
This is WAMC Regional News. I'm Ray Graff. In the headlines, prison escapee David Sweat is out of a prison infirmary and now facing disciplinary charges stemming from last month's escape from the state prison at Dannemora. Prison officials say the disciplinary charges are separate from any criminal charges that Sweat could also face. He is now being held at the Five Points Correctional Facility in central New York. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating after 11 commercial flights reported they were illuminated by lasers while flying over New Jersey. The FAA says the incidents occurred Wednesday between 9 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. There were no reports of injuries. Three of the incidents involved flights near Newark Liberty International Airport. One flight was headed to LaGuardia Airport. Police say a 19-year-old North Greenbush woman who was reported missing yesterday morning may be in danger. WAMC's Patrick Garrett reports.
The Times Union reports police are still searching for Heather LaDagne, who didn't come home after her shift at Price Chopper on Route 4 in Troy Sunday night and may be off her prescription medication. She was last seen in her vehicle crossing the border coming back into the U.S. from Canada. LaDagne's vehicle was later found near the Bolton Landing Riverbank Road off exit 24 of the Northway in Warren County. Police say it is unknown why she left the vehicle, but suspicious activity wasn't apparent. Anyone with information is urged to contact authorities. Patrick Garrett, WAMC News.
New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has authorized local prosecutors to start investigations when police kill unarmed civilians, but prohibits them from giving immunity to any witnesses. More from WAMC's Dave Lucas.
Schneiderman, appointed state special investigator and prosecutor in police killings, also prohibits the 62-county district attorneys from eliciting related testimony before grand juries. That typically provides immunity from prosecution. They also cannot make plea or cooperation agreements with suspects. The attorney general was given the new authority by Governor Andrew Cuomo following recent killings of civilians by police who were not indicted. Cuomo says there's a perceived conflict of interest for county DAs prosecuting police they work with. Schneiderman says he's responding to local prosecutors' concerns about the crucial investigation time right after an incident. Five of his staff will pursue any cases. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
Bigger trucks could be seen on New York highways if Congress approves a transportation bill that would override a state ban on the rigs. Senator Charles Schumer, a New York Democrat, says the trucks that can stretch 88 feet have a 15% higher fatality rate compared to regular tractor trailers.
The twin 33s, as they're called, take 20 feet roughly a car length and longer to stop. The turning radius is wider, 6 feet wider. The blind spots are greater and can be lethal for drivers on the road. They are much more difficult for other cars on the road to pass. A lot of the accidents occur when a car tries to pass one of these huge trucks because of their sheer length.
Officials with the U.S. Olympic Committee will be in Boston today meeting with local organizers of Boston's bid for the 2024 Summer Olympics. Local polling has shown support for hosting the Games in the range of 40%. The USOC must officially declare a candidate city by mid-September. Federal officials today will detail an initiative to increase access to high-speed broadband in public housing. Boston and Springfield are two of just 28 cities picked for the pilot program. More from WAMC's Paul Tuthill.
Springfield Housing Authority Executive Director William Abrashkin said the agency is excited to have been selected by U.S. Housing and Urban Development to be part of the project. He said an estimated 75% of the 2,300 families in Springfield public housing do not have internet access.
That's a huge problem because everything is done online. And without being able to get online, you're pretty isolated and excluded.
HUD will not be providing funding for the pilot program, but will enlist internet service providers, nonprofits, and private companies to offer broadband access, training, and internet-connected devices to public housing residents. Paul Tuthill, WAMC News.
A New York City police officer has pleaded not guilty to charges he was moving oxycodone pills into Vermont. Andre Clark was arrested earlier this week on drug conspiracy charges. Prosecutors say Clark was a middleman in the operation, supplying the painkillers to one man who in turn allegedly supplied a Burlington street dealer. News Channel 13 meteorologist Paul Cayano's forecast. Oh, what a lovely day ahead. Sunny, low humidity, highs in the upper 70s.
Is that Irish?
I don't know. It might have been Irish.
Is that a brogue?
Clear. It'll be clear and cool tonight. Lows in the mid-50s, don't you know. Sunny early tomorrow, then some clouds mixing in later in the day tomorrow. Highs in the low 80s. The last report, sunny 57 degrees in North Adams, Mass. Sunny in 65 in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. Sunny 54 in Rome, New York. Partly cloudy, 62 whimsical degrees in Albany. More WAMC news on the way at 11:06.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, delivering local produce to subscribers at their workplaces, such as the Great Oaks Office Park in Albany, New York. Fresh food from small farms, field-goods.com. Berkshire Mediation Group, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Family law mediators working to preserve a family's limited financial resources in a confidential setting. BerkshireMediationGroup.com for consultation. In George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts. Family-owned and operated for over 75 years, serving western Massachusetts with propane and full-service heating and plumbing installation, services, and deliveries. GeorgePropane.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 16th of September. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you, then we'll get to the business at hand. Joining us for the discussion, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I love it. You say, let me introduce the panel. I was telling Stu Shinsky, one of our guests here today, that I knew a famous conductor. One day I was interviewing him on the radio, and I asked him about how he had left Russia. And he said, everybody knows me. Get it? Don't you see?
I see. Mm-hmm. So you don't see.
You don't need an introduction.
You need no introduction.
And yet it seems to take so much time.
I love it.
All right. So
for you Russian listeners, that's Alan Chartok.
Investigative reporter at the University at Albany. And also an investigative reporter, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? And Stu Shinsky. And here, how about this for an introduction? Because I don't really know what his job is now. He is the interim publisher of the Poughkeepsie Journal and
Are you still the executive editor? Yeah.
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay,
yes,
so you're doing both. You're wearing both hats as we speak.
And I don't have that much hair to cover, so it's a challenge.
Well, is
it's not a challenge. Actually.
Congratulations in order?
Yes, yes, thank you. It's okay. A position. I'm happy to help out my company. I'm honored to run the second oldest newspaper in America for a little bit of time.
Is that right?
See where it goes.
And the oldest is the New York Post?
The oldest is the Hartford Courant.
No kidding.
Yeah,
continuously. How come the New York Post always has that thing on the top?
Because they're wrong.
Gee, that's so they're not wrong. In keeping with their general philosophy, journalistically speaking. What can you do to make some major changes? What's going to be the Stushinsky legacy of your time as interim publisher of the Poughkeepsie Journal?
Well, we're making a former office to a conference room. That's pretty much the highlight so far. It's a position that's heavily involved in the business operations of the newspaper, with advertising trends, sales trends, circulation trends, getting involved in staff development issues, things like that. And that's on top of the news content that I work with my staff on, and it's frankly a fascinating position because there's so much to learn.
Well, the fact that you have two jobs and still find time to come and see us is we're very grateful for that.
I wouldn't miss this. I enjoy this so much, and I'm always honored for the invitation.
Is that
well,
true?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I really do.
We love having you.
Lie down on the couch.
All right, let's move on to the topics at hand. A reminder, you can join in on the fun, and isn't this fun? Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We go to the bailout in Greece under threat from the nation's creditors to move quickly or lose any chance of obtaining a desperately needed new bailout package. Greece's parliament approved painful new austerity measures early Thursday, virtually guaranteeing that life would get harder for millions of Greeks. With banks closed and the economy on the verge of collapse, the prime minister had urged the adoption of the measure, saying that while it was a difficult deal for the creditors that the creditors were offering, it was the only one available and would avert a humanitarian and fiscal disaster. I guess we saw this coming, did we not, Rosemary?
We did. It's been coming for years now. I have a question and a comment. My comment is that Germany is being cast as the bad guy in all this, which is very interesting. It kind of shows the uneasiness in Europe with Germany as a leader. Time magazine has an interesting article about that in today's online edition. The economic minister of Germany has said, you know, kick them out. They're bad boys. They don't have any discipline. I don't think they have enough discipline to ever be in the Euro Union, but get them out for 5 years until they can start paying back. Whereas the International Monetary Fund, which is one of the major players in the whole debt crisis, is saying you gotta restructure this debt. You gotta give them a break. So I find that really intriguing. It's economic, and Germany has economic arguments on its side, and yet the politics of it are completely different. My question is, how is the agreement that the Parliament signed off on different from what Europe offered the week before when they went and did a referendum and the Greek people rejected? I'm reading some places that it's even more
strenuous. Oh, it is.
Strenuous. In
There's
what
no
ways?
Question. Well, I'm an expert on this. The reason I am is that I was in Italy for 10 days doing nothing but sitting and watching
listening to
television. And I have no idea what the answer is, except that over and over and over again, they said it was infinitely worse than the original deal that had been offered. They were giving rationales for why they made it worse. One was that the Germans were particularly ticked off at some of the remarks that had been made in the heat of the election and in the moment, and that they were insulted by it. So they just decided to raise the stakes.
I think one reason that makes sense to me is that because of the referendum and the cutoff of talks, banks were closed. Banks in Greece have been closed for 2 weeks. That costs some money. To refinance the banks now is going to add to the debt. So that makes sense to me. But I'm not sure that the idea that the prime minister had a referendum and got the people to support him and say, no, we're not going to do it, then went in and said, okay, we'll do it. It's not quite – I don't know. It's just a weird dance.
I watch this, and I keep thinking the media is blowing this story
right.
Because it's a bailout. Fine. What's going to rebuild Greece's economy?
Right.
This is all about refinancing debt, but where's the industry? Where's the economic drive? Right. Where's the innovation? Where's the future projects that can put more people to work, get them back on their feet? I mean, this is all about let's save them for the next 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, but what's going to rebuild this place long term?
And the IMF, as Rosemary just referenced, is saying nothing if we keep insisting that they, unlike the Germans, do the full freight. I mean, we let the Germans off the hook, obviously, years ago. And this was a big part of the Greek response, by the way, of the Greek people's response. The IMF is coming saying, you can't possibly pay off the debt. You can't possibly pay off the debt unless you give them a break. Now, we who see the media, at least in this country, I think, are particularly concerned about the fact that they don't pay their taxes in Greece. Which is why you see this very heavy increase in the value-added tax, the VAT tax, because it's the only way you can get people to pay.
They buy stuff.
Although somebody will write in and be quite correct, there's always an underground economy for selling things without the taxes.
Well, the opponents to the deal in Greece are comparing it to the Treaty of Versailles, which, of course, wrecked and angered the Weimar Republic and set up the fascist overtake. It's so onerous that, as Stu said, you're not going to see the economy grow. Basically, Greece will exist. Workers will work to pay off a debt that doesn't even help Greece get out of it. It basically is keeping banks in business.
It's survival in the most basic form.
Yeah. I agree that the Greek prime minister did not have much of a chance if he wanted to stay in the Eurozone. And had he wanted to get out, there's no infrastructure in place for them to move back to the drachma. So they really had to do this.
And I think everybody knew it. And I think that their adversaries in these negotiations understood that.
Yeah.
So they call their bluff.
Yeah.
It's like when you're playing poker. Don't bluff.
I've kind of changed my mind on it. At first, I thought that the Greek government was doing a great move going in there and getting their people to say, no, we don't want it, and then looking kind of like, okay, we're doing it on our terms. But the numbers are staggering.
But some of that did actually happen. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's what...
He may stay in office.
He's very popular.
Very popular.
No, Rosemary, he is in terms of the people, not with his own party. But with the people, they want to stick with him, and they want to see him. This is all over the Beeb this morning. They want to see him leading them because they have a confidence in him, perhaps because he led that referendum.
Yeah, you may be right about that. Members of his own party, of his own administration, are dropping out because they don't approve of what he's done.
But everybody else came in.
Everybody else came in.
In other words, the other parties all came running in to save this thing.
Well, don't forget, though, he's trying to make leftists happy. He's an extreme left government, so his own party is the one.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and return to the conversation. We welcome your we welcome your comments, and we welcome your breaks as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Washington County Tourism, presenting farmers markets, U-Picks, roadside farm stands, farm wineries, distilleries, and breweries throughout the county. WashingtonNYCounty.com. Adirondack Scenic Railroad, a heritage train with tours leaving from Utica's Union Station, Thundera Station, Saranac Lake Union Depot, and Lake Placid. AdirondackRR.com for schedules and information. And Old Castle Theater Group, downtown Bennington, Vermont, presenting Cabaret the Musical, the story of pre-World War II Berlin nightlife at the Kit Kat Club through August 2nd, oldcastletheater.org for tickets.
Good morning and welcome back to
It's all a matter of context.
Yes. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. Very nice to have you with us. We have some letters. We'll read those to you now, and then we'll move on to a topic before we take a news break at the bottom of the hour.
So Jack says, and calls it the Greek intervention, has anyone noticed that seeming similarity between what is happening between Greece and an intervention where family, friends, and the odd medical professional get together to intervene with a serious substance substance abuser who is in deep denial about the destructiveness of their, quote, habit. It does not always work, but very courageous, rough, but ultimately humanitarian step if the abuser will wake up to their destructive habits. And that's Jack.
Okay. Well, I think it's dangerous to compare household budgets to country budgets, and it's probably dangerous to compare international relations with what goes on in interpersonal affairs.
Yeah, I suppose. Ryan says, Greece. Forbes and Wall Street Journal have both recently run stories suggesting that Bitcoin could become a de facto second currency for Greece and the first Bitcoin ATM that can convert Bitcoin into euros and bypass Greek capital controls over the weekend.
I don't understand.
Well, you heard me say, right? You heard me say that a developing underground economy would happen if you have to pay 26% or something like that in terms of your value added tax. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to figure out how to sell it on the street corner. The same thing with or with a Bitcoin or with anything else. There will be innovation based on the fact that, you know, somebody can make a buck, don't you think?
I don't want to make light of the situation, but given that in the Greek economy and the limit that you can take out in the ATMs, do they charge the outrageous fees in their ATMs that we do?
That's interesting. How much are ours these days? I never noticed.
There are cases, Alan, where you can go to not your bank, ATM,
not your bank,
and have it cost somewhere between $7 and $8 to take your money out.
Whoa! That's a lot of money. That's why I never like to go to the little ones in the little stores. I always like to...
Although sometimes those can be cheaper than some of the other banks.
They?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my bank is... But I go to my bank, which owns stuff all over the world, you know? And you just go in there and you get it. You get a little break rope, don't you?
Because I
have to know my bank is your bank.
Yes.
No banks are good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of my bank.
Big or little, there's problems with.
Yeah, they're going to scree no matter what.
Well, there is that. And so Michael writes, Germany. Wasn't Germany forgiven their debt after World War II? Hypocritical? No. And that's from Michael. Didn't I just say that? I think I did.
It's come out.
Yeah. What'd you say?
It's come out. We've been talking about this for a while. Germany feels the
economic
conditions.
As soon as I
say
something like that, somebody writes me a letter, and then they say things like, why do you hate the Germans?
It's not really hypocritical. It is true, but it is not hypocritical. The Germans believe that the economic situation is far different now than it was after World War II.
They
and
do.
Greece being in default is a whole lot different than the giant world leader of Germany being in default.
Well, you've been married. You know what this is all about, right? The fact of the matter is...
Marriage should not prepare me for anything.
Well, yeah, but everybody will always say... Everybody will always say, this is different.
I think we have our next topic, Joe.
This is different.
This is different.
You know, in every argument ends in that, this is different. But you did 2 days ago, but this is different now. Right?
Yeah, it's a good argument.
Yeah, sure. Especially if you're using it. Okay, I don't know if... wait a second. Charles says, the music you used this morning to introduce Roundtable is wonderful.
Thank you.
I wish I knew what it was. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, it'll be on the website, and Dave will probably write you.
Just one other comment. Yes. I appreciate Rosemary. I've heard her make the most nuanced, intelligent comments many times, and she sometimes has to battle fairly pedestrian opposing opinion.
I'm feeling a butt coming.
On the contrary. No. So, Rosemary... Thank you very much, says Charlie.
Wow, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah. And who's a pedestrian?
We all are when we cross the street.
Especially on Central Avenue.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like this letter.
Oh, there's another letter? Okay. Don says, if Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were to purchase Greece, I'm sure they would do a better economic job than the Greek government.
I agree.
Yes.
Well,
that's what they should have done. They should have said, we're selling Greece to Gates and Bill Gates.
Yeah, I think they're too smart
check
to
back
buy.
With you.
What the what's
his name? Might be.
Trump?
Yeah.
Give it to Trump.
No, that's a different story.
Well, okay. I'm still working on the possibility of a Trump Bernie Sanders election.
Let that one go. Is that it for letters?
What let one go?
What?
Did you just say let that one go?
No.
No. Oh, I thought I heard something.
No, I said, is that it for letters?
No, before you said that. No, oh, no.
I don't think I said that.
No problem. But I don't understand why people think I'm anti-German. I don't get that part.
It's the Jewish thing. Holocaust.
You think it is?
Whole historical context.
Oh, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it is that, after all.
You've been to Germany, though.
I have.
Yeah, several times.
I was there when the wall came down, right after the wall came down, stayed in a Stasi hotel. Not that that interests you.
Yeah, I've done that, too. It's interesting. They're wonderful.
And Karl Marx plots.
Yep.
And that you can say on the radio.
Joe?
I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. Are we good?
Joe is cowering behind the wall.
Okay. All right.
What is happening today?
I don't know. I really don't know. We're going to take a break, a much needed one, I think.
Send those letters in, please.
Roundtable at WAMC.org, and you can also comment on our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning, and very nice to have you with us. Rosemary Armeo is here, Stu Shinsky is here, Alan Chartok is here, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. So let's move on to other stories. We have many to discuss, and of course, we were talking about the deal with Iran yesterday. And the president defended the deal during a press conference that he gave around 1 o'clock, went over an hour, and was far-ranging. We'll talk about some of the other issues that were brought up in that press conference in just a moment. But he said that the only alternative to a nuclear deal with Iran is war. That was the headline out of the press conference. What did you make of that, Rosemary?
Well, I mean, he advanced the argument that we talked about yesterday, that no one else, Republicans, the Israelis, no one else has an alternative agreement that would do anything other than threaten and try to punish Iran. And he's saying, we have a deal. We're going to be moving forward. The only alternative would be military action. That is the same as war. So the headline hypes it, but it's the same message. He's saying that tensions and unfair divisions in the Middle East will continue despite this agreement, but nuclear is off the table, so we're better off. And sure, there's lots of things still wrong with what's going on with Iran, including that a Washington Post reporter married, who is Iranian himself, of Iranian descent, and is married to an Iranian woman, is still in prison there and has been for nearly 2 years. So there's lots of things wrong still. But it's the first agreement we have. We're talking with them. They're at the table. They're dealing. That's a good thing.
Rosemary, didn't you think that he did a – I don't know if you heard the whole thing. I did. That he did a superb job of explaining it all and doing it.
Yep.
And every time they wanted to go away, basically he would say, let's talk about this some more. I mean, he really thinks he's got the high ground. I think he does. And that he's doing a very good job of explaining it.
I do. I think he's completely on this, on. And the whole press conference was kind of interesting. We could talk about the Cosby part of it. I thought that was masterful, kind of also.
You know, this is going to come down to, okay, there's a deal, great, one way or the other, you like it, you don't like it, fine. Now, how do they enforce it? They're going to do these inspections, they're going to go over there. And what happens if there is a violation?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to start lobbing some bombs in because they violated this? We're going to go back to the table for diplomacy. The deal is nice, but will it actually carry through?
But then
what's the choice?
That's the situation every time you make
a deal. Exactly right.
And
if you don't make the deal, what do you do?
And if they violate, then you have lots of alternatives.
Right.
You put sanctions back on. You go back to the negotiating table. You condemn them. You make deals with people they don't like, which we've done all of those things, and that's not off the table.
Right.
And as I keep saying, you know, the Israelis still are independent agents. They're not signees of this agreement.
If they got a problem, they're going to react.
You got it.
Yep.
Sure. Sure. Michael says, Republican opponents to the Iran arms deal have put themselves in the illogical position of insisting that the release of the four Americans being held by Iran be tied to the deal, and in capital letters, at the same time wanting to trash the deal. Where would that leave them? And that's from Michael.
I just love it. It's like the deal is too easy on Israel. It's a deal. It's not a punishment. It's not like we went in and said, you know, sign this agreement that says you're going to give us everything we want. We're still going to be mean to you. Who would sign that?
Yeah. It's, you got to start somewhere.
It's illogical. Well,
I thought that the president, as I said, did a superb job, and he took each of these scenarios and he tried to explain, like the Stu scenario, what we would do in that case, that we had other relationships with him.
He did do a good job.
Yeah. And then he went to Bill Cosby.
So let's let's talk about that real quick. As far as the president talking about this issue, and while he did not, he was asked about the Cosby scandal, and he then, while moving slightly of not directing that controversy directly, did say bluntly that the actions described in accusations that the comedian Bill Cosby drugged women for sex would constitute nothing less than rape, and he said the country should have no tolerance for such actions. In his first comments on the decades-old accusations against Mr. Cosby, the president sought to carefully avoid a direct comment on civil legal actions that have been lodged against the longtime comedian and television star by several women in recent years. And he dismissed
almost 50.
Yes.
Several.
Yeah, dozens.
That idea that he might revoke the Presidential Medal of Freedom conferred on Mr. Cosby by President George W. Bush in 2002. And the president saying that there is no precedent for revoking a medal.
I think that that was his one kind of weenie moment in a very strong press conference.
You said weenie moment?
Yeah, okay. That he said, oh, no, I can't take it away. There's no rules for that. It's never been done before. Well, we've never had a guy with 50 accused rapist charges against him, accusations of rape against him. So he's the president of the United States. I think he can come up with a way to do it. On the other hand, I don't think he wants to do it, and I'm not so sure he's wrong about that, and he should be saying it. There are other people who have gotten that award. By the way, the rules for how you get it are also just as nebulous. But Dick Cheney has one. Kissinger has one. I don't like them. I think they've been accused of war crimes, at least as serious as rape. And are we going to take those medals away too? The contributions that won them the medal did not go away. And Bill Cosby was an iconic star and did do many things that were good. His bad actions, yes, I want him to be held accountable for. But I don't think you do that by saying, like pretending that his good stuff never happened.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a parallel here to Joe Paterno, where Penn State took down the statue of Paterno outside of the football stadium.
It is similar.
And eventually they put it back. I think they re-erected that statue after they convicted Sandusky and the other guy, and Paterno was, it became clear that he knew but just did not take action. So I don't think they're going to take the medal away from Cosby. And honestly, because he's not going to be criminally convicted of anything, I don't think he has a way to go there if he really wanted to. So the civil cases, yes, but they're not a criminal finding in a criminal courtroom.
Well, I mean, there's a reason there's not going to be a criminal finding.
Yeah, statutes of limitations.
Yeah, I mean, the president could do something. There's nothing, there's no rule on how to do it, but there's no rule that says he can't do it either. So he could do it. He doesn't want to do it, and I think he didn't give the real reason.
There's that strange, well, go ahead, Al.
I was just going to say, I think it was very gutsy. To do what he did yesterday, stand up there and say, "Hey, you drug women and you rape them, and you attack them, then it's, you're guilty of rape." He didn't have to say anything, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of staggered that in 2015 it's necessary to hear that.
Yeah, it was sort of a
that
basic
people have to be told that.
But then what's he going to say? Because he can't sit there and say, "Well, we know Cosby criminally did this."
He can't.
Well, because there is that. Whoopi Goldberg argument, which she's held
not
on
been
to,
convicted.
She retracted too.
She did retract.
Yeah.
To be in that ABC meeting where she was told her to reverse. That was all fascinating. She got on The View and said that until there are criminal charges, then get off his back and her back too for supporting him. She received a lot of heat, I believe rightfully so. And then on Monday had Dan Abrams, who is an ABC court watcher, pretty much described to her about the statute of limitations and let her in on the secret that he can't be charged on these crimes.
That doesn't mean he's innocent.
And then
it comes down to this document that the Associated Press dug up a couple of weeks ago, in this court document, where in essence he was asked, and Mr. Cosby said that he did apparently drug people for the essence of committing a sexual act.
He said he acquired, didn't even buy them illegally, acquired Quaaludes with the hope of using them for sex. But he and his wife have now maintained that, you know, the women said, yeah, I'll take those drugs and have sex with you, sure. But oh, I also think women can have it both ways. Those women, the 50 women, gave in to a feeling that still persists that if you speak out against rape and your rapist, you will be harmed. People will ridicule you. You'll lose jobs. You'll lose influence. You can't speak up against great men. And now they're complaining, rightly so, that they can't prosecute. Women need to speak out against rape. It's used as a crime that holds you down. In Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive because they might be pulled over by the side of the road by men and raped. Come on. That's a way to restrict you. And we use the laws against women here. We have to get control of that.
Sam wants to know, do Rosemary and Libby ever appear together in any of your discussions about social issues? Are you kidding?
They're here all the time together.
They're all the time together.
Yeah.
He goes on and on. I'm always amused by
Every Monday and Wednesday, I would note.
Come on, Sam. You're better than that. All right. And Ken says, I don't know what Ken says. And Bo says, hi, y'all. I think the entire world economy and most of the countries in it, including our own, are stumbling along at the verge of economic stagnation, or worse, held together by a Band-Aid patchwork of political, social, and financial manipulation to keep everything rolling forward. I am not optimistic. And that's from John. And then our good friend Ken says, to correct Stu S., Paterno did take action. Someone told him about something they saw. He was not a witness to those activities. Paterno told the superiors of the university about what he was told. It was up to them to investigate, determine the validity of the charge, and take appropriate action. It was those superiors who failed, not Paterno. And it's Ken G. from Catskill.
I'll respectfully disagree with that.
Yeah, that's not the way I remember that case.
Joe Paterno could have done a lot more to protect these teenage boys who were being backed up to walls and showers.
For years prior to those accusations being made.
Well, another happy
show. Is that it?
Well, there's one from Jules that says, in addition to the fee that the not your bank ATM charge, you may add, your bank may add on additional handling charges.
Right.
Usury?
Yep.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
And let's talk about, you know, waiting. You wire money. That happens instantly. You know, there's no waiting. Banks get it right away, but you're going to wait 3 days to use it.
Yes.
Oh, how come I don't get to charge you for using my money?
That's a very good point.
You know, I've often thought that about that one.
Yeah.
Well, how many people pay for the right to do business with a credit card company?
Yeah.
An annual fee. I that just always mystified me. You're going to give them money for the opportunity to do business with them.
I'm putting them on my list along with airline companies.
Yeah.
No,
banks. I think.
Oh yes, I'm. Well, I'm with you there. Yeah.
Joe's always been with you.
Yeah, I'm.
But not on the airline companies. No, I won't. Sorry, I'm not hijacking the conversation.
Okay. Should the president have scolded CBS News's Major Garrett?
Oh yeah, that was pretty controversial.
During a gathering yesterday, Major Garrett, who works for CBS, said that was asked if the president is content to celebrate the Iran nuclear deal while four American hostages remain in Iran. Obama testily replied, "That's nonsense, and you should know better."
Mm-hmm. It was a definitely edgy worded question, and it was disrespectful. I agree with him.
So you because the reporter asked
it's two separate issues.
So you, the reporter. Oh, you agree with who?
With the writer saying
with Obama.
He should not. No. I do think that Obama should have reprimanded him. It was a bad question.
Okay, so you're not one of those newspaper folk who think that every time, or journalism professors who think that anything that the press ever does is okay and that nobody should ever criticize.
Oh my God,
no!
I just want to make sure that.
No,
there's so many things wrong. But this is
two separate issues. I don't think the president takes lightly whether you like him or not. I don't think he takes lightly about Americans being held in other countries.
Right.
The Iran deal is a separate action, a separate discussion than the other thing. And
right.
You can ask any question you want, but there's a way to do it and do it with the right intentions.
Right.
Well, he used to work for Fox, so maybe he just forgot who he was working for.
and what if he was a colonel?
Demoted. We'll be back. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more discussion after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Style Fabrics, Route 28, Kingston. offering a complete line of Pfaff sewing, embroidery, and quilting machines, plus service and repair of all other sewing machine brands. Style-fabrics.com. And the Whistling Kettle, featuring Tea of the Month clubs, Tea Discovery, Wellness Tea, Herbal and Caffeine Free Tea, and more. TheWhistlingKettle.org for catalog and online ordering.
How's that for a day brightener, listeners, huh? Lift you right out of your car seats.
It's a palate cleanser. I like it. Do we have letters, Ellen? Or are we
there's always letters. There's always.
I know that.
It says, Tom, Major Garrett is trying to get his old job back. CBS is too tame for him. And then Robert says, good morning. I'm writing as a member of the board of the Public Relations Society of America in the Capital Region. We have a fun event on... Oh, no, that's different.
Yeah,
okay,
that's...
yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. You can't blame me for everything. Okay, wait a second. Why not? It's all messed up, Joe. I don't know what's happening here. Okay, Robert says... Panel, congressional Republicans, especially those running for president and a couple of their wackier governors are shocked that Planned Parenthood makes donated fetal tissue available to medical researchers like stem cell scientists who desperately need the material to conduct potentially life-saving studies and in return receive small amount of money to cover their processing costs. And these good, God-fearing Republicans are going to do something about it. Investigate, hold hearings, hunt for witches, storm the castle, waving pitchforks, and probably howl at the moon. Yet another political circus, and here come the clowns. That's from Bob. Ken. What does Ken say? Major Garrett, in reverting to his Fox Noise roots and couching his, quote, question, using the descriptors content and celebration, deserved being called out and smacked down by the POTUS president of the United States.
Yeah,
either that or somebody in, you know, a Gilbert and Sullivan thing. Let's see. Jeannie says, Obama did discuss what would happen if Iran cheats. He did.
He certainly did.
The sanctions have a, quote, snap-in provision, so we would not have to waste time going back to the UN. Obama was right to reprimand Major Garrett for his obviously slanted question. Garrett was probably auditioning for a job at Fox.
Yeah, I'm actually going to use that in a class on interviewing. I think that was you don't get an answer, although maybe he didn't want it because he's look at all the attention he's getting. His name is everywhere.
Yeah, it's almost a little surprising. I always thought he had a fairly good reputation, Major Garrett.
Yeah, it's like, remember Sam Donaldson back in the Nixon years would ask extremely provocative questions of Richard Nixon. I was in college and, you know, loved that then. But now as a old grizzled professional, that's not how you ask a question.
Dear panel, please reconsider using extreme left to describe the Greek prime minister, Greek government. Have they called for the nationalization of private industry, the abolishment of private property? Policies to increase socioeconomic justice through redistribution and the maintenance of a social safety net are hardly extreme, and that's from David in Kingston. That, I think, Joseph, is what I got.
All right. Let's move on to another story, and that is, this is one we commented on. We didn't talk about it. We just made a passing comment on it earlier this week. But the Food and Drug Administration has warned that the risk of heart attack and stroke from widely used painkillers that include Motrin, IB, Aleve, and Celebrex, but not aspirin, was greater than it previously has said. But what does that mean for people who take them? Experts said that the warning reflected the gathering evidence that there was risk even in small amounts of the drug, so-called non-aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and that everyone taking them should use them sparingly for brief periods. Millions of Americans take them often every day. One of the underlying messages for this warning has to be that there are no completely safe pain relievers, period, according to the director of Center for Communication and Health at Northwestern University, who specializes in drug safety communication.
Scary stuff. I have an awful lot of friends and even some relatives who treat this stuff like candy, and they take it a lot. And now we see a pretty good study that shows, heart attack and stroke come out of this. So the hint here is don't use it unless you really have to use it, as opposed to, you know, getting it as a crutch. What, Rosemary? You don't have anything to say?
Yeah,
about this?
My mother told me not to talk about this or I'll sound like a hypochondriac. But I'm taking a lot of ibuprofen every day for lower back pain. I guess arthritis and back pain are two of the reasons that you use this.
Sure.
So it's really easy to sit here and say, unless you really need it, don't take it for minor extra pain. It does, from the inside, doesn't feel so minor. And, I think other people feel the same way about arthritis pain. This article blithely says lose weight. That's how you get rid of arthritis. Yeah, but in the meantime, while it takes months or even years to lose enough weight to make a difference, you're in pain.
Not necessarily. You can lose weight quite easily on my oatmeal.
You are the Germany to my Greece. Let me put it this way. I'm disciplined about losing weight. You are the Germany.
You eat oatmeal and egg 3 times a day and you'll lose weight.
And
nothing else.
Just take the Motrin. Yeah, give the heart attack.
Screw that.
My gosh.
Yeah. To your point, Rosemary, because up until, I've been into a doctor's office where they say, they give you that pain scale from 1 to 10, and then one is the happy face and 10 is the sad face with the tears coming out. And you say, well, a 7 or an 8, and they say, well, have you taken ibuprofen? And you said, yes, I took 2. Did it work? You say, no. And they said, okay, we'll take 4. Yeah.
So here's my question, Joe. Yeah. What do they know? I mean, I'm sorry to have to say this. They know it'll work. They know it'll be helpful. Here comes a scientific study that says your chances are, not as bad as smoking, by the way, but your chances are that if you overuse this stuff, you're going to have a heart attack or a stroke in a way, not your predictably, but that in a way your chances will be much worse. Look, there are GPs all over the place who will tell you anything, and quite often they don't know a thing.
How many people actually read the bottle like they should, with recommended dosages and the frequency of the pills and how many to take or not take in a 24-hour period? I bet a lot of people don't even bother reading the bottle.
I actually did because I'm afraid my liver is going to fall out from ibuprofen. And the information on the internet, which I'm pretty good at searching, is definitely not alarmist at all. In fact, I take a massive dose. It's still only 3/4 of what is suggested might be dangerous on the internet. So it's not just not reading the directions. The directions are not alarmist at all.
Any medicine that you take is going to come with a leaflet.
Yes.
And it's going to,
for legal reasons,
going to scare the hell out of you.
That's only prescription. Ibuprofen is not prescription.
Well, that's even worse in a way, because it's not prescription and we leave it to people. And now we have a study that says this is a very potent drug. I know. I take it every once in a while when I'm out in the garden too long, and it's probably silly. I probably should just stay with it.
And you got to be careful if you're taking this stuff. Don't mix it with other types of medicines.
Aspirin. You're not supposed to have it.
Mixing it can be worse than taking maybe 5 of these. If you have questions, talk to your doctor, seriously.
Well, and as I say, who knows? They know that they know what they're doing.
You're going to die either way.
I agree with you.
Well, that's
there's our optimistic thought.
That's not a great way to look at it.
I'm talking about my cello now.
No, but she's right. Pete Seeger's father died when he was way up there. Pete died when he was 94 or 5. The fact of the matter is, you can't change your genetics, although there will be people who argue with you. I have a very good friend who says his father's been dead 20 years already from a heart attack. And based on what he knows, perhaps the statins, things change.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
All right. We are out of time.
No.
I'm sorry.
We have to go take our pills.
Yeah, that's right. It's bill time. They got the little bog. All right. We welcome your letters, of course. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Do we have a closing letter, or are we good?
Yeah. Tell Rosemary that a good holistic chiropractor or network care practitioner can eliminate lower back pain and help stop arthritis pain. Well, John, I have to tell you, it didn't work in my case. What did work was going to a competent surgeon who really saved me. It's that simple.
Yeah, I'm on my way to an MRI. So.
Yeah. All right. And believe me, Rosemary has tried every one of the things you're talking about.
Yeah,
and more.
We have.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Sorry, Mom. I sound like I have hypochondria.
Forget about it anyway. Go get some fried food or something.
Why would anybody say that about you or me?
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you very much. And the roundtable will continue after the short break.